He is worthy. That's how worthy he is. When you enter into the presence of God, you just fall flat on your face because you realize how unworthy you are and how holy he is. He is God. Father, as we come to you right now, I come as your vessel and your servant. And Father, I ask that you use me any way you want to, that your word might go forth and help and strengthen and quicken and deliver your people. Lord, we surrender only to you and to your will and to your purpose. Speak to your people, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit flood this place. That every heart, every soul, every mind comes in subjection to the manifestation, to the powerful manifestation of your Spirit. God, teach us, Lord. Instruct us, Lord. Draw us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Even now, God, we submit to you. We yield to you. We proclaim, have your way, even now, God. I am your servant. Use me for your honor, for your glory, and for your praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen, amen. And amen. 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 First of all, giving honor to God, to my pastor, my assistant pastor, to fellow members on the pulpit, to our deacons, families, and friends. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to stand before you and minister the word of God. Deacon Samuel, thank you for all that you did this morning. I felt his heart, and that is a good man. Amen. He just unselfishly did what needed to be done, going, picking up. Thank you. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 13. Mm-hmm. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Pray for me. Pray with me. Galatians, the fifth chapter, I'm going to start with verse 13. When you have it, just say amen, or amen. When you have it, just stand up. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 13. Table of contents is a wonderful thing. Yes, ain't no shame in using the table of contents. That's why it's there. Amen. Galatians, the fifth chapter, starting in the 13th verse. For you were called to be free, brethren. Uh-huh. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Uh-huh. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to be before you long. My subject this morning is walk in the Spirit. And for a subtopic, what God wants to do for you. Verse 13 says, we were called to be free. God called us, saved us, delivered us, set us in this place to be free. Free from what? Free from ourselves, free from each other, free from religion, free from theology. He called us to be free. But don't use this freedom as an opportunity to serve yourself. For the entire law is summed up in this one statement: love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, sir.
And then if we go over to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and if I don't have love,
right,
it doesn't mean anything. And so Paul sets it up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, but I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What God wants to do for you. Walk in the Spirit. Paul specifically says, walk in the Spirit.
Yes,
not run in the Spirit. But walk in the Spirit. Not jump in the Spirit, not skip in the Spirit, not dance in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. You see, sometimes we do not like walking in the Spirit. We want to run ahead of God. We want to do for God. We want to be in front of God. We think we know what is best for ourselves, and we don't walk in the Spirit. But Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you have an opportunity to commune and fellowship with God. When you are running in yourself, you miss that opportunity to commune and fellowship with God. It's imperative that we learn to slow down and walk in the Spirit. I say to you, walk in the Spirit. Literally, that translates live in the Spirit. Not only are you walking day by day in the Spirit, but you're surrounded by, you are living in the Spirit. Not only are you living in the Spirit, Brother Cole, Minister Cole, but the Spirit becomes your companion. That's what the Bible is saying. When the Bible is saying, walk in the Spirit, it is saying, let the Spirit become your companion. Do y'all understand what that is saying? That is meaning that I am so in tune with God that the Holy Spirit is walking with me every day, and He has become my companion. When the Spirit is your companion, you won't get caught up in mess. When the Spirit is your companion, you won't get caught up in trouble. When the Spirit is your companion, He walks with you, He talks with you, He fills you, He inspires you. When the Spirit is your companion, He helps you, He guides you. Walk with the Spirit. Don't you know that the Spirit wants to walk with you? When you follow the guidance of the Spirit, Paul is saying the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. But when you follow the guidance of the Spirit, you obtain a double release. We read about all of those works of the flesh. When you are walking in yourself, you live in those works of the flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, He releases you from those works of the flesh. By yourself, you are stuck, bound, locked up in those works of the flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, He releases you from those works of the flesh. It is a double blessing when you allow yourself, when you allow the Holy Spirit to be your companion. We're afraid to let the Holy Spirit be our companion. I don't want Him to see what I'm doing. I don't want Him to see what I'm thinking. So therefore, I am not going to walk with the Spirit. I'll walk with Him on Sunday, but Monday, I don't have time for Him. But I'm telling you, you need to walk in the Spirit. Verse 22, I told you I'm not going to be with you long. But the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. This comes back to that subtopic, what God wants to do for you. Brother Kenny, stand up. The fruit, just stand right there, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Those nine God wants to put in you. Receive the gift of God. Just say after me, I receive the gift of God. Stand up, Lynn. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. God wants to put those in you. That's right. Receive the gift of God. Stand up, Deke. Both of y'all. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. That's what God wants to put in you. Receive the gift of God. Stand up. Yes, please. And Cassandra. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. That's what God wants to put in you. Receive the gift of God. Somebody in the back, stand up. Somebody who wants to receive the gift of God, stand up. Stand up. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Receive the gift of God. That's what God, He loved you so much. That's what God wants to put in you. Stop trying to live it on your own. He wants to put it in you. All you've got to do is lift up your hands and receive the gift of God. Receive the gift of God. It's free. It's free. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to fast for it. You don't have to tithe for it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to ask for it. It's free. Receive the gift of God. And not only am I receiving the gift of God, I'm receiving the Spirit of God. Oh, y'all don't get it. It's not only about love, joy, peace. It's about I'm receiving God on my inside. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you raise your hands. God loves me so much that in spite of me, He's pouring His gift. God wants to bless you. God wants to give His gift to you. It's not an exercise just to stand up and say, I receive. It's an exercise of faith to stand up and literally receive the gift of God. Do you know what happens when you receive those nine virtues? You change. You change. You change from the inside out. We got it reversed. We try to change from the outside in. That doesn't work. When you receive from God, you change from the inside out. And when people see that inside change, it reflects on the outside. You don't have to walk around, "I'm so holy." They see it. They see it. They feel it. You don't have to walk around quoting the... They see it. And the word springs out of you. You don't have to be quoted and quoted. It springs out of you because it's natural. Jesus says, we studied this in Sunday school last week, "I am the vine. We are the branches." We must learn to draw life. We must learn to draw life from Jesus. Jesus releases life to us. He is the vine. We are but a branch. We have to learn how to draw life from the branch. How do you draw life from the branch? You see those bottles there. That baby starts sucking on the bottle and draws milk out of the bottle. We need to come to Jesus and start sucking and drawing out life just like a baby, because we need to draw life from God. If I do not draw life from the vine, what happens to me? I die. I wither. All my works are just my works, my ability, my strength, my knowledge. But if I draw from the vine, it becomes God's works, God's ability, God's knowledge, God's skill. I have to draw from the vine and not myself. When you draw from the vine, you have no idea how many people you will be able to save. When you draw from the vine, you have no idea how many people you will be able to touch. When you draw from the vine, you have no idea how many people you'll witness to. We want to witness. We want to bring the community in. We want to make a difference in Leesburg. Well, start drawing from the vine and stop drawing from yourself. When you draw from the vine, that's when change comes. The fruit, and I'm not going to get through all of them, is love. Love. Not philios. Not eros. But agape. That's telling you, that's God's love. Agape. One of the messages that we read over and over and over in the Bible is love. First thing we have to do with this fruit is learn to love God. It's not enough that it comes from here or here. It's got to come from here. We've got to learn how to love God so much that nothing else, nobody else, no thing else is important but God. We also have to learn how to love ourselves. When I went through my divorce, it was very difficult to love myself. I felt like such a hypocrite. I felt like such a little piece of trash. I felt like I was unworthy of the Lord. It was very difficult for me to love myself. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I cannot love myself. I'm always going to feel ashamed. I'm always going to feel guilty. I'm always going to feel sorry. But that's just me. But if I'm filled with the fruit of the Spirit, I can learn to love myself. I can learn to accept His forgiveness. I can learn to accept His love. Not only that, we must learn to love one another. That's where the church all the time has some issues, with loving one another. You can't sit in my chair. You can't have my title. You can't have my ministry. It's like crabs. If someone gets a little higher, we start pulling them and trying to pull them down. But we've got to learn how to love one another. If you succeed at that Methodist church, praise God. I love you anyhow. If you get your own ministry and you get your own church, praise God. I love you anyhow. If you can sing that song better than me, praise God. I love you anyhow. Love says, I don't care what's happening. I got God inside of me, and he loves me just as much as he loved you. I don't care how he uses you, because he's inside of me, and he will use me too. We got to learn how to love our enemies. People aren't always going to treat you right. People aren't always going to talk to you right. People aren't always going to act right. But we got to learn to love our enemies. Another gift is joy. How many of us have had the joy knocked right out of you? Life has come and it has beat you down. And while you were down, it even kicked you a few times. How many of you had the joy knocked right out of you? But this joy that I'm talking about is not about the song. It's a calm delight that no matter what's going on around me, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how much you try to pull me down, I have this calm delight because I have the joy of the Lord inside of me. And this joy that I have, you can't take it away because God gave it to me. And God is going to put his joy inside of me. Peace. Peace. You listened to the radio this morning or listened to the news this morning. There was an earthquake in Guatemala, or earthquake in South America. The day before, there was an earthquake in Japan. Last week, there was a fire on the metro. Somebody at the metro station, young kid, got stabbed to death.
That's right.
How can you have peace when all around you stuff is happening? It seems like the world is spinning out of control. Every time you turn on the news, something bad is happening. How can you have peace? But Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Peace not as the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding. We've got to learn how to draw, come up to a gas station,
come on, sir,
and our tanks are on E,
yes,
and allow the Holy Spirit,
yes,
to pour in peace.
Yes,
allow the Holy Spirit to pour in peace. Allow the Holy Spirit to pour in peace. We have to acknowledge that we're on E. Sometimes we drive around in our spiritual lives like men. Oh, I got enough to make it to the next gas station. And we don't acknowledge that we're running on E. But you have to come to the fountain of life and be willing to drink from the fountain of life and be willing to let the Lord fill you with his peace. And I'm here to tell you first, Mount Olive, when he fills you with his peace, stuff does not bother you. Y'all don't get it. Stuff does not bother you. You do not bother me. You do not bother me. I am filled with the peace of God. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Act like you want to act. I am filled with the peace of God. You can't bother me. You can't rob my peace. You can't rob my joy. You can't rob the God that is inside of me. Oh, because I am filled with his peace. I am filled with his joy. I am filled with his love. And if I just have those three, Kenny, that's enough. That's enough. I got two more, and then I'm going to sit down. Long suffering means forbearance. Forbearance means, go ahead, hit me. Go ahead. That's what forbearance means. It means it doesn't matter. You hit me as many times as you want. I can deal with it because I have the Spirit of God inside of me. Forbearance means patience. It means learning to wait on the Lord. There's a lot of power in this scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Only those who wait renew their strength. When you are not walking in the Spirit, when you are running in the Spirit, when you are trying to act like God, when you are trying to act deep and spiritual, you will not renew your strength. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Some of us are tired. Some of us are weary. Some of us are worn out. Some of us are burned out. But they that wait on the Lord, what does it mean? It means to sit down and just wait. Just like Job said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. I'm not going to make my change come. I'm not going to ask for my change to come. I'm simply going to wait. I'm going to wait. Whatever it takes, I'm going to wait. Whatever it takes, I'm going to wait. Whatever I see, I'm going to wait. Whatever I hear, I'm going to wait. Whatever you say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait until my change comes. I got two more. Kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is doing good when you don't expect a thank you. Kindness is doing good when you don't expect a thank you. Kindness is saying you sang good even though they sang in the KFC. Kindness is saying that dress looks good even though it doesn't look good. Kindness is saying, bless you, brother. Even inside, you know he was just talking about you. Kindness is learning how to extend the other hand. Kindness is praying for someone when you know they haven't even prayed for you. Kindness is praying for someone who hates you when you know they hate you. Kindness is going the extra mile for your brother, for your sister. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God in me. It's not natural. It's not natural. It's not natural. But it's the Spirit of God that lives inside of me. And the Spirit of God allows me to be kind in spite of you. Last, I can't deal with all of them. Last, goodness. What did people love about Jesus? He was good. He was good. What will people love about you? You are good. Goodness is a magnet. People are attracted to goodness. Goodness draws people. So if you have goodness in you, it draws people. You don't have to proclaim, I go to First Mount Olive Baptist and I sit on the you don't have to do any of that. Just let the goodness of the Lord come out of you and it will draw people. What is it about you? And that opens the opportunity for ministry. In our spiritual lives, we sometimes put ourselves on autopilot. But it's time to go to the doctor and get a physical checkup.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How much fruit have you bore? This is April.
Yeah.
This is April.
Yeah.
4 months
into
the year.
Yeah.
How much fruit have you bore? And if as you're examining your life and you realize, I haven't borne any fruit.
Well.
I haven't loved. I don't have peace.
Come on, sir.
I don't have joy.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been long-suffering.
Well.
I lost my temper. I wasn't patient.
Come on, sir.
It's time for a spiritual checkup.
Amen. Yeah.
And not only is it time for a spiritual checkup, this is the time that you need to run to the altar and ask God, fill me afresh, fill me anew, fill me again, because something inside of me is missing. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like that feeling of being separated from you. I don't like that feeling of my joy is being robbed. I don't like that feeling I don't have peace like I used to have. I don't like that feeling when you say something to me, I got to be spiritually refilled. And it's not always about coming here and snotting a few times and going home and like, no. It's getting down on your face and saying, God, I'm not moving until you change me. God, I'm not moving until you fill me. God, I'm staying right here until you change my life. God wants to pour his spirit into you. The question I have for you this morning is, will you receive it? I'm not talking about lip service just because you're in church. Will you receive it? Not only will you receive it, do you want it? How can you call yourself a Christian and you don't even want the Spirit of God? Do you want it? We're so caught up. I want the next level in my job. I want the newest car. I want another zero after my salary. We're so caught up in that. Do you want God? So much so that you lay aside everything else. Walk in the Spirit. You take it. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to go old school on you. First off, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there is anyone here right now who knows that if in the next 30 seconds Jesus was to come and I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity, I don't know about my salvation, I don't know about my relationship with the Lord. If you're here right now and you're unsure where you're going to spend eternity, I'm going to ask you to just lift up your hand and put it back down. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is not a time to be ashamed. It is not a time to be embarrassed. It is a time to be real. If you know, I just don't know, I want you to just lift up your hand and put it back down. If there are any here who know I've been living in self, I've been living in my own ability and I've been walking in my own strength, and I need a fresh filling of the Spirit. I need a fresh anointing from God. Some of those fruits of the flesh, they've been manifest in my life and I want to change. If there's someone here today who knows I need God and I want to accept his gift, I'm going to ask that you lift up your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I'm going to ask you to take a walk of faith. I told you this was old school. I want you to come to the altar. Just you and God. Come to the altar. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The Spirit of God is pleading with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want to work with you. I want to deliver you. I want to bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. As your head is bowed and as your eye is closed, stretch out your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Minister Cole is coming and he's just going to put a drop of anointing oil on your head. I told you I was going old school. Stretch out your head. Stretch out your hands. Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I want your anointing on my life. I want your hand to touch me. I want your hand to move on me. I'm tired of the way the enemy has used me and abused me. I'm tired of the things that are hidden in my heart and are hidden in my spirit. God, I surrender to you. God, I surrender to you. God, I surrender to you. Say after me, God, I surrender to you. God, I surrender to you. God, I surrender to you. You pray.
We feel like your spirit all over us. And we just come to say, we surrender to you. We feel your presence, and we know, Father, the reason we feel your presence is because you want us to feel the closeness and recognize your love. And recognize that we have wandered away, that we're not as close as we were. Not because you have moved and not because you've gone beyond where you were, but because we have stepped away from the pathway of righteousness. We haven't walked as you would have us to walk. We have not lived as you would have us to live. We have not recognized the love that you had for us in a way that made us decide we want to show our love to you more and more and more. Father, we surrender to you. We surrender to you. We surrender to you. We want to do your will. We surrender to you. We want to walk according to your righteous word, and we want to live as you would have us to live. We surrender, Father. We recognize that you, the God of the universe, have all power. We recognize also, Father, that you've shown us all love. We thank you for that love. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that we can experience because of the fact that you've loved us so very, very much. Thank you for those gifts. Thank you for that love. Thank you, Father, for showing us that you care. Each of us, Father, each of us are standing now. Want to surrender ourselves totally to you, the God of the universe. We know where we are. We're here in your presence. We know where we are. We want to be wrapped up in the arms of the God of the universe. We know where we are. We want to surrender ourselves totally, totally, totally to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the salvation that he brought to us through his suffering and pain. Thank you, Father, for the joy that we can have because of the Spirit that you've given to place that joy into our hearts and become a part of us. Father, we ask in the precious name of Jesus that right now you'll touch each one of us who are here and let us hear your voice. Let us hear and know without a doubt that not only are we in your presence, but Father, we're wrapped up in your love. Not only are we in your presence, Father, but you hear the silent prayers that are on our hearts. And not only are you listening to our prayers, Father, our prayers are being answered even as we stand and even as we listen. Father, you're hearing our silent voices. So thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for reminding us and encouraging us that we need to surrender totally to you, the loving God of the universe. Oh, in the precious name, the loving name of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior, Jesus who loved us so much that he died. Jesus, his precious name, his loving name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for an opportunity to surrender to you. Amen.
be praying.